The scripture reading is found in Joshua chapter 22, verses 10 to 12. And when they came unto the borders of Jordan that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they built an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. And the children of Israel heard say, "Behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Jordan, of Israel." And when the children of Israel heard it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. May the Lord add his blessing to his reading.
The name of my sermon today is On the Other Side. And the purpose of my sermon is to show what lesson we can learn from when the tribes of Gad, Reuben, and half the tribe of Manasseh built an altar on the east side of the Jordan River. Speaking of the things that happened to the ancient Israelites, the Apostle Paul tells us, "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Let us turn our Bibles together to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We'll be starting with verse 12, but before we start reading, I want to share with you a little bit of history, what happened. The tribes of Gad, Reuben, and half the tribe of Manasseh raised a lot of livestock. And as the children of Israel were approaching the promised land, while they were on the east side of the Jordan River, those tribes noticed that the land on the east side Jordan offered extensive grazing land that they wouldn't find on the west side Jordan. And so they decided that they wanted to settle on the east side Jordan, so that they could use that land for raising their livestock. And so they made an agreement with Moses that when their brethren went to the west side of the Jordan River, their young men would go in with them to help them conquer the land of Canaan. And then after they finished that, they could return to the east side. While their young men would go on the west side Jordan to help the Israelites conquer the land of Canaan, their elderly, their wives, and their children stayed on the east side Jordan. But that was the agreement they made with Moses when they asked him to give them the land on the east side Jordan. Joshua chapter 1, starting with verse 12. "And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, to help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. They also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising," that means toward the east. "And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. So even under Joshua's leadership, they remained true to the agreement they made with Moses. And they did carry out this charge. Let's turn in the same book to chapter 22, starting with verse 1. Joshua 22, starting with verse 1. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, and said unto them, Ye have kept all that Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, and have obeyed my voice and all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side Jordan. So, as Joshua just said, the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh faithfully carried out their charge to go in and help their brethren conquer the land of Canaan. Then they were free to return to the east side Jordan, the land they asked Moses to give them. In the same chapter, let's read verse 6. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. So now they were free to head to their back home to the east side Jordan. But now it's back up to verse 5. Joshua gave them a warning or a reminder. He said, But take diligent heed to do the commandment of the law, which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So it was very important to Joshua to remind these tribes that these men who are just about to leave for the east side Jordan to continue to serve the Lord God of Israel. Now in the same chapter, let's go to verse 9. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go unto the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed, according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And when they came unto the borders of Jordan that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. Well, one thing to remember is that Joshua reminded them to obey God's law. And part of God's law was that burnt offerings and sacrifices were to be brought to the tabernacle in Shiloh. And now these people have pitched and have built an altar. And that could definitely raise questions. Let's read verse 11. And the children of Israel heard say, Behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. Let's stop there for a moment. So as soon as they heard about this altar, the first thing that came to their mind was offerings, burnt offerings and sacrifices. They immediately assumed that that's what this altar was built for, to take the place for the tribes on the east side of Jordan, to take the place of the tabernacle at Shiloh. Let us continue. Thus they would be disobeying the law of the Lord, Continuing, verse 13. And the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and with him 10 princes, of each chief house a prince throughout all the tribes of Israel, and each was an head of the house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel. And they came unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead, and they spake with them, saying, one thing that's important, before they did any fighting or attacking their brethren, they sent men to speak to them. Continuing, verse 16. Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have builded you an altar, and that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? So the understanding still was that this altar was there for offerings, for burnt offerings and sacrifices. In the same chapter, let's read verse 19. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over unto the land of the possession of the Lord. Keep in mind, the land on the west side, Jordan, is the land that God promised to give the Israelites. Reading again, verse 19. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over into the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession among us. So they invited them to come to the west side. But rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us, in building you an altar beside the altar of the Lord thy God. And that the altar of the Lord God was the one in Shiloh at the tabernacle. So the other important thing to learn from this incident is not only did they send men to speak to the other tribes on the east side Jordan, they also invited them, come to our side and dwell with us. Don't rebel against God. Continuing in the same chapter, let's read verse 21. Then the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, we'll skip ahead to verse 24, and if we have not rather done it for the fear of this thing, saying, in time to come your children might speak unto our children, saying, why have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you. Ye children of Reuben and children of Gad, ye have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering, not for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, ye have no part in the Lord. Let's stop right there. So we can see clearly the concern that the tribes on the east side Jordan had. Their concern was that in future generations, those on the west side Jordan would think that those on the east side had nothing to do with the Lord. Those on the east side wanted the people on the west side to remember, we are your brethren. We are also children of the children of Israel. We are also followers, worshipers of the Lord God of Israel. They wanted the people at that time to remember it, and they wanted future generations to remember it. So they built this altar as a memorial. Let us continue, verse 28. Therefore said we, that it shall be, when they should so say to us, or to our generations in time to come, that we may say again, behold the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings, not for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. So those on the east side built this altar that it would be a witness between them and their brethren on the west side, a witness that they also are worshipers of the Lord, that they also are of the children of Israel. Verse 29, God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord. So they had no desire to rebel against God, to disobey him, and turn this day from following the Lord to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, or for sacrifices beside the altar of the Lord our God that is before his tabernacle. So even the tribes who settled on the east side recognized that the Lord wanted offerings and burnt offerings and sacrifices to be presented at the tabernacle in Shiloh. They simply built the altar that it would be, again, a witness. Let's move ahead to verse 32. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and the princes returned from the children of Reuben and from the children of Gad out of the land of Gilead unto the land of Canaan to the children of Israel and brought them word again. And the thing pleased the children of Israel. So now they knew the real reason why their brethren had built that altar. It was not for sacrifices or burnt offerings. It was not to replace the altar in Shiloh. Starting again, verse 33. And the thing pleased the children of Israel. And the children of Israel blessed God and did not intend to go up against them in battle to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwell. And the children of Reuben and Gad, and the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed. That's a Hebrew word that means a witness. Called the altar Ed, for it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. Amen. So what other lessons can we learn today as Christians behind that altar being built? As mentioned, they build it to be a witness, a reminder, a witness that the Lord is God, a reminder to future generations. Those on the east side Jordan are also of the children of Israel. They are also worshipers of the Lord. The Lord gave them that land, just like he gave that land to those on the west, on the west side Jordan. The first thing that comes to my mind is if you see your brother in an error, or you think he's in an error, well, of course, the first thing I believe one you should do is pray. Is the issue that serious? And then go to your brother. Jesus gives us that principle. Go and talk to him. And, well, he's in the context, Jesus is talking about having a grudge. But even if you don't have a grudge, if you see somebody apparently doing something wrong, you go to that person. You talk to that person. If necessary, you take one or two more with you. And find out why they're doing what you think they're doing wrong. Maybe you'll find out that they're doing nothing wrong. Just like in this case, in the case of those who built that altar, they did nothing wrong. Or what about a sister church? Maybe you think something is being done wrong at a sister church. So like those on the west side Jordan, what you need to do is go over to the other side and see what's really going on. What are they really doing? Maybe you'll find out that they're doing nothing wrong at all. But the Bible does give instruction for us if we find out that our brothers or sisters in the faith are doing anything wrong. Let us turn to the New Testament, to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. The Apostle Peter tells us, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." And all of us as Christians are called to inherit a blessing, are we not?
Amen.
Amen. And so we are to have compassion on one another. In the same book, let's read chapter 4, verse 8. "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." And if you look up charity in Webster's 1828 dictionary, the first definition is given is love, the disposition to think favorably of your fellow man and to do him good. And many of you probably know that in the King James Version, where you find the word charity in the New Testament, the underlying Greek word is agape, which stands for unconditional love. So we are to have compassion and love for one another. Now let's turn to the book of James. Right just before 1 Peter, the book of James, chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. James says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth," that means wander away from the truth, "and one convert him." So that's the one thing we should want to do. If we see a brother or sister erring from the truth, we should want to convert them, bring them back. Verse 20, "Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins." So that's what we should be wanting to do. When we see others in the faith apparently erring, we should want to win them back to the truth. Have compassion on them, win them back to the truth, and hide that multitude of sins. It should not be our first urge to axe them off and let their sins be exposed. Now I'd like to turn to Jude, the letter of Jude, just before the book of Revelation. And we'll read verses 22 and 23. The letter of Jude, just one chapter. And we'll read verses 22 and 23. And Jude says, "And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." So when we see someone else doing wrong, yes, we should hate the sin, the garment spotted by the flesh, but we should want to pull them out of the fire. We are to have compassion on them. Many times people, when they find others in the faith erring, they may be inclined to overreact and to even get angry with them. What does the Apostle Paul say about this? Let's turn to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. And we'll start with verses 26 and 27. Ephesians 4, starting with verse 26. I know this is a strange wording when you first see this. Verse 26. Paul says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." I used to wonder before, what is meant by that? Be ye angry and sin not. When you first read that, it might make it sound like he's giving you a command. Get angry and don't sin. So we need to find out, what does the rest of the chapter say about anger? Let's move down to verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So what does he say? He says, put anger away. Exactly. He says, put these things away. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. So when we find our brethren erring, we should want to pull them out of the fire, bring them back to the truth. If they've done anything wrong against us, forgive them. And then it says in verse 32 again, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So going back to verse 26, when he says, be ye angry and sin not, what he's saying is to be angry without sinning. In other words, whenever anger comes to you, don't sin. Stay in control. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, put the anger away before the sun goes down. Neither give place to the devil. And the psalmist tells us, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. That comes from Psalm 37. So we definitely can learn very important lessons from when that altar was built on the east side of Jordan. Obviously, the brethren were very wroth when they found out that that altar was built. They were ready to go into battle against their brethren. But they found out that there was no rebellion against the Lord. It was to be a memorial that the Lord is God. In closing, let us turn to two places in the book of John. John 13, verse 35. John 13, 35. And it reads, this is Jesus speaking, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. John 17, verses 20 and 22. This is Jesus' prayer for all who would believe on his name. He says to his Father, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. May this, by the grace of God, be our Christian experience, the experience of each one of us here. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that as we leave this house of worship today, that your Holy Spirit will continue to teach, guide, and comfort us. And we pray that you will help us to, as a church, to continue to be united in Christ. And we pray that you will help us all to share the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, the hope of eternal salvation. These things we pray in Jesus' precious and all-sufficient name. Amen.